Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with relationship news, the Friends reunion, and a super quick Masked Singer finale update.
It's been too long. I can't wait.
I was going to say, you don't have to make it too quick, Amelia. We haven't heard about it in like 2 weeks.
Settle in, baby.
Indulging me. Oh my goodness.
Also, guys, check out my co-host this week. Kate went on the Ringer Music Show to talk about Olivia Rodrigo's new album, Sour. Great job. I did.
Oh my God. Why don't people ever tell me these things?
We're telling you now. Okay.
Yeah. Amelia, tune in. Also check out Amelia on Bachelor Party. Obviously with Juliet Littman, they're doing like a Real Housewives check-in this week. So they're doing big things.
Love
support them on all shows. Okay. Before I get into the show, let's take a quick break.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it with my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
All right, Tea Time is checking in with relationship news. We have, you know, one non-cursed piece at first at the top, and then it kind of goes off the rails. Kate, you want to start?
That's how we do it at Tea Time. So the big news in the last couple weeks, or last week anyway, has been Ariana Grande's wedding and marriage. When it was officially announced, I think we talked about it very briefly last week. We just didn't have many pictures. We didn't have any info. We knew she got married. We knew it was real, but we had nothing. Luckily, like the good celebrity she is, Vogue did an exclusive spread of her wedding photos, details, all this stuff. So just want to run through it. Talk about how we feel. First of all, they got married at her house. Mm-hmm. It was a 20-person ceremony, which is like small. Like that's small for... an average
Extremely.
Person. For a celebrity, that's like minuscule, which I love. Very intimate. Mm-hmm. And what kills me is these pictures are gorgeous. Like it looks like, you know, kind of your perfect like Pinterest board wedding. And then I saw that it was at her house and I was like, oh, so her house just looks like that. Got it. But she wore this beautiful Vera Wang gown. She apparently a couple years ago met Vera Wang at a Met Gala and Vera Wang was like, when you get married, I'll design your wedding dress, which I don't know what kind of first impression Ariana must have made, but it must have been really good. I would assume she wasn't with Pete Davidson. Otherwise, Vera Wang would not have offered. But she did. And the dress is gorgeous. It's very sort of sleek and elegant and minimalist. We were sort of right about her hair. She wore it half up, half down. True to the high pony, but with a little wedding twist on it. And I don't know, Dalton was also there, but not
Kate.
Important. And she just looked great. Very kind of old Hollywood, classic.
Yeah, she covered up a lot of her tattoos. She kept one on her back, but a lot she put with makeup, which I thought was an interesting choice. And she does look very classic Hollywood. Her earrings were like the pearl and diamond, which matched her engagement ring. Mm-hmm. It's just a very classy event. She looked absolutely beautiful. And it's also like, I don't know why, but it's very serious, which makes me feel like she's very serious about this freaking real estate guy, which is good because she's got married to him. But this was not something that was like thought of in a day, I feel like.
This was not like the Sophie Turner, Joe Jonas trip to Vegas.
Right.
I am so glad you said that about the tattoos because I did not notice that. However, do you think it's because several of her tattoos are related to ex-boyfriends, and so she just like didn't want those in her pictures?
It's a good question.
Maybe.
She kept a couple based on the photos, but she definitely covered up a lot. She's quite tatted, but
she looks great. Love
it. Yes, she does.
Also in relationship news, this was very funny to me because these people, Shailene Woodley and Aaron Rodgers and Miles Teller and his wife, went to Hawaii together. And it was like a personality test for like my Twitter timeline to see which of these people they thought the news item was about. So, you know, our coworkers, we work at a sports website. So like the majority of our coworkers, the majority of my timeline was like Aaron Rodgers is in Hawaii with Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller. Aaron Rodgers has a man bun. Aaron Rodgers is cringy singing in the kitchen with Miles Teller's wife. And then like another third of my timeline was like, Shailene Woodley is in Hawaii with Aaron Rodgers and Miles Teller and his wife. Shailene looks great. You know, I'm glad she's happy. She's too young for Aaron. And then it was like another third of the timeline, which was like the film bros, like the film critics were like, Miles Teller is in Hawaii with Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley and his wife. And it was just really funny to see like, I don't know why these three people were like, only one person was important to all of these groups of people, but it was. I would have looked at it as a Shailene Woodley news item, but I also am kind of like tentatively in on Aaron Rodgers ever since he hosted Jeopardy and was like really bad at it and kind of endearing about it.
Wait, he was bad?
He was a little stilted. He's kind of an awkward guy, which I also found kind of endearing just because he like really wanted to do well and like was really kind of a nerd about it. He and Shailene, honestly, I'm kind of in on them together. They've taken a lot of trips together lately. They like went to Disneyland and they're just kind of out and about like being together. There were also pictures of them together at the Kentucky Derby, which was less, I don't like any of that. Like for some reason, when I see the Kentucky Derby weird. Hats and like the bright colors, I'm like,
that was weird.
I'm feeling Miles attacked. Teller there too?
Yes.
Like they're like this little group of people that keeps traveling around.
Yeah. And I don't know. I was out on the Derby, but I think I'm like in on Shailene and Aaron. And it is like a little bit charming that Shailene and Miles are still friends after doing so many movies together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I guess I'm like kind of, I mean, I'm out on Miles because I just think he's kind of like hard to take.
Oh, well, no, this is a good update for you then. Because guess what? An hour ago, TMZ reported that Miles Teller was allegedly punched in the face.
What?
At a restaurant. Yes. That's not a happy thing. I'm sorry. I don't condone violence.
How am I supposed to take this?
I'm sorry. But apparently he was in the bathroom and a man confronted him and punched him in the face.
Wow. Like today?
Or is Wednesday. Like it was
one
Wednesday.
Time Miles Teller got punched. Oh, wow.
No. Oh, my gosh. Wednesday. Amelia, you're
I'm
right.
Sorry.
I just looked this up. He was in the bathroom when a man confronted him and punched him in the face. Holy smokes.
Okay. Again, like very, very assault is bad. But Miles Teller, one of the most punchable faces of all time.
Kate.
Objectively, like he has the face for that. However, I'm sure he did not deserve to be punched. And I'm sorry that he did. Yeah, sorry, Miles. That's tough. That's a tough break.
That's tough. Yeah.
I hope his face is fine. That's the moneymaker. Got to take care of it.
Is it though? Or okay.
Is it?
Sure.
Well, you know.
That's debatable.
All right. On to the next relationship news.
On to the next one. This is not confirmed. So this is all speculation. Okay, people. I'm going to just take this with a grain of salt because it originally actually came from our former source. And now I think we've all moved away from it a bit. But apparently there are rumors swirling that Kanye West is dating Irina Shayk, who's former partners with Bradley Cooper. They share a child together. They are no longer together. And then multiple sources have come out and said that they are dating. And I don't know. They have not been photographed together. There's like nothing definitive. Kris Jenner has not released like an anonymous, you know, press release to TMZ yet. So we do not know. But they have been weirdly kind of linked for a long time, like for almost a decade, actually. He has rapped about her before and like named her in his song. She was in his Power music video as like this goddess. She looked absolutely amazing. She's walked in his fashion shows before.
Sure.
Over the years. And then in April, who knows what this means? It's probably nothing. But she did wear a Kanye West designed t-shirt in April of this year. So maybe, you know,
interesting.
We don't know. Putting it on everyone's radar. Whoever has leaked this to Kim and she has apparently, quote unquote, responded, she's unbothered by this news, which it does seem like she's got a lot else going on, which I'm actually going to talk about a bit later.
Right.
But yeah, this is a possibility. That's all I'm going to say. And we can leave it at that.
Interesting. I don't know about that.
Okay.
No. You mean if you like it or not?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of thought she had her act together. So that's tough. But
who knows what this will become?
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll see. All right. Last one.
All right,
one.
Amelia.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you to Kaya, because she was the one who was like, fine, we'll give it to you. And just a quick little benefit update. They've been spending some time in Miami, which is, you know what? That's one of the places I want to go to after this pandemic. Like, Miami seems awesome. I've never been. I've only been to like Orlando, and it was a swampy mess, but Miami seems really cool. It's like on the water. It's a fun nightlife. It seems lovely.
It seems lovely. This is new me, new year, new.
Wow.
Oh my God. Whatever. I love this. I would not think of you loving Miami. Yeah. People go out to like 5 a.m. there.
Okay, I don't know if really I can hydrate. Do that, but okay, yeah.
Bring all your beverages.
Yeah, bring the beverages, bring the serums, yeah. Uh-huh.
You've been training for this your whole life, you just didn't know.
Exactly. So she looked great. Like, she always looks so good, but you know, she was wearing a cute little top, and her hair wasn't all glam, which I love, and he was there. I think he's like lost a considerable amount of weight.
He looks shredded.
Fit. Yeah, he looks really good. Yeah. So I'm hoping that this is a positive, you know, whether it's PR or not, you know, we can continue to debate that. But and then also random, J-Lo was seen with Mark Anthony, her ex-husband, in Miami yesterday, like literally yesterday, just having lunch or something. They shared two kids. So, you know, right. I don't think it's anything, because I think he's married. And then freaking the disruptor, Agent of Chaos, Diddy.
Yes, I'm so happy you brought this up.
He posted a throwback photo of himself and Jennifer with the simple caption, #TBT, to his Instagram. And everyone was like, troll, iconic troll status. We stan. We love Diddy.
So funny. He's not single. Like, I think he just did that to literally be a chaos agent.
Right. He knew he was going to get pressed for it. And honestly, yeah. Smart move, Diddy. Smart move.
That was smart. Wow. Oh my God. Okay. We'll probably have another benefit update next week. We can make this like a nice recurring tag to all the relationship news.
Thank you.
Great. Can't wait.
Okay. Next category is not worth the tea this week in social media. And then just miscellaneous news. Melia, really exciting. I'm giving you the floor.
Thank you. Okay, you guys. This has been a long time coming. I personally feel responsible a little bit because I've willed this thing into the universe with positive thoughts, okay? Lindsay Lohan, it was announced she's getting a movie. She's getting a movie. She's making her comeback to Netflix of all places, which I think it's perfect, with a holiday Netflix movie. So she is joining the universe of Vanessa Hudgens, yep. Emma Roberts. I'm sure True. There are others. I can't think of them right now, but she is up there. And honestly, I think it's perfect because those girls were also kind of big in the 2000s. Lindsay, predated them a little bit, but now is her time to come back into the spotlight. Someone has finally trusted her to take the helm of a movie. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea, but you know what? It's 2021. Mm-hmm. It's the year of clarity of, you know, forgiveness. And I think she maybe has matured.
Yeah. Maybe? Like this. And also, I do think this is a pretty big deal. Like, we
thank you.
Poo-poo on like Netflix and the holiday rom-coms and all that.
Yeah.
However, this is a really big deal, I think, especially for her to like be at the helm of this movie.
Yes.
It's a lot of trust. And it's also just a big move forward towards her maybe like re-entering like the acting world completely, which I don't know if you're emotionally prepared for, Amelia.
I'm like literally, oh my, I can't even speak. I'm so excited.
I agree. Oh, I think this is perfect because beauty of these is that, first of all, it doesn't have to be good and it's not supposed to be good. So right. The expectations for the actual quality of the movie don't matter. What
They're
it needs
low.
To be is buzzworthy.
Right.
Memeable.
Yes.
Netflix is going to be all over social media with this.
You're so right.
All over like the teasers and the trailers and the silly blog posts. Because they do that with everything. That they single-handedly like raise Vanessa Hudgens from whatever,
amazing.
I don't know, depressing like influencerdom she was in. So, yeah. I mean, they're so well prepared to do this for Lindsay that it's just very exciting.
Thank you.
Also, this is a can't miss. This plot is amazing. This role, made for her. She's going to play a newly engaged spoil hotel heiress who gets amnesia after a skiing accident and finds herself in the care of a handsome blue-collar lodge owner.
Hell yeah.
Mm. Love that. Do you think she's going to channel her arch nemesis, Paris Hilton?
Perhaps.
For this
role? She should.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be just like, you know, a commentary, but also a comedy. She'll come back with a whole new genre of acting, which I'm really excited about. So
yeah, we should definitely cover this. We got to give this press.
The gears are already turning in my head as to like, what can I, like just a Rolodex of things to pitch to Andrew Gretadaro. Yeah, that's great.
Happy for you, Amelia.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, okay. Also, this is like, it's fun. I swear to God, this like, it's like, who is this person? But you should know who Quincy Jones is to all the listeners, right? Because he's an icon. He's a titan of the music industry. And he did another iconic interview because if you remember, he is an unfiltered king. He had a couple of interviews from like a few years ago, I think for Vulture and GQ, where he was like, you know, fuck this. I am 80 something years old and I can say whatever the fuck I want. And he made some like truly wild claims. Like he was like, the Beatles suck. he claimed like Richard Pryor had sex with Marlon Brando. JFK was murdered by the mob. And honestly, it's not that I don't believe him because I do believe him. But what was said in those interviews was just so out of left field. And it was just like, what the hell?
Totally, like, just totally like unforced, unprompted. Unforced. He just like gave it to us.
It was just word vomit. It was amazing. And it was so crazy that his daughters, including Rashida Jones, had to stage an intervention. And they were like, you can't do this anymore, Dad. And so he had to come out with an apology. But honestly, like, I don't care. You don't have to apologize, King. Like, you are iconic. And but thankfully, he didn't. I guess he must have forgot. He's 88, so like I get it. He must have forgotten his whole intervention because he recently came out with another iconic interview with the Hollywood Reporter, was like, "I'm gonna call out Elvis's racist ass." Good. And then he talked about how Elon Musk, Richard Branson, and Paul Allen are trying to get him to go to space with them.
Just leave him alone. He's old. Why does he have to go to space?
I don't know. I know you're anti-space, but honestly, if anyone who is like, you know, who's better to go? Who is a better representation of just, I don't know, human life? Quincy Jones. He is an icon. And we deserve a Quincy Jones Hollywood tell-all memoir.
That we do. We definitely do. I still think you should stay on Earth because don't you have to take like physical tests to go to school? You have to be like in real tip-top
pretty good shape.
Yeah. Who knows? I shouldn't underestimate him. I should not do that.
You shouldn't. They've done it before.
He'll come for you next, Liz. No one's safe.
He'll come for you. So anyway, you should read this interview. It's iconic. Read the older interviews with Vulture and GQ because those are fucking iconic too. They are off the rails crazy and I love it. I just give Quincy Jones his own podcast where he just like talks. And I would sign up. I'd get the notifications. Spotify, hear me out. That's my idea.
Yeah.
You can pay me for that. Thank
you. Talk to somebody about that. All right. In other Hollywood news, listen, Cruella is out this weekend, which means everyone is talking about remake fatigue. And how Disney live action movies, they just keep remaking things or making these origin stories that no one wanted, no one asked for, which means it was apparently the perfect time to announce that Timothée Chalamet is going to star in a Willy Wonka prequel, a Willy Wonka origin story, to be specific, which really was a setup for my guy, Timmy, because everyone was already all worked up about this. They dropped this news, and of course, there was just incredible backlash to it. People are like, we don't need to know more about Willy Wonka. We don't need, we've already had a bad Willy Wonka remake with Johnny Depp. We don't need another one. Quick side note, when I went to see the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka, when it came out, when I was in like, I don't know, fourth grade, there was a tornado warning, and we all had to leave the movie theater and go into the back of the concessions and like sit down next to all the syrup that they put in the soda and like wait for there not to be a tornado, and then we all went back in and finished the movie.
That's
so
intense.
That's my Willy Wonka story. Anyway,
that's traumatic.
Timmy is going to be Willy Wonka. He apparently wants to sing and dance, which apparently is going to be part of this. I'm not opposed to that. I feel like he does have the potential for that. I have seen the math rap videos. We know that there's something there. Maybe not much, but something. And I just don't think this is the right move necessarily, just because people are already so opposed to it. And then we're going to be talking about it for 2 years before it comes out. And then people are still going to be against it. But, you know, I mean, I guess go collect the bag, Tim. Like, don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. I feel like maybe he could have done a couple more romantic movies. I don't know. This Willy Wonka's like, oh, good.
But, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Next piece of this, like, miscellaneous category. So this started as one piece of news, and now it has turned into, like, two other completely separate things. The original part that we were all going to talk about is that Kim Kardashian's like maybe giving up on being a lawyer because she failed her little baby bar exam. Okay, so then I like looked into that, and then like a day goes by, and then of course she's going to retake it, yada yada. Okay, and then more news comes out, and now Kim Kardashian's, the real news is like she's being sued for violating labor laws by people who worked on her property in the Hidden Hills. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. The next day I read another article where it's like, Kim Kardashian, actually, BuzzFeed connected these dots. Like, Kim Kardashian tests positive for COVID days after returning from that private island birthday party that she got so much shit for in the fall, I believe. So, so now it doesn't even matter that Kim failed her baby bar exam. That's like the last thing on my mind. She's got a lot of other shit going on. It feels like she should take a breather. But yeah, it's just a whirlwind around Kim Kardashian right now. But I guess to sum up what we were originally going to talk about, she's going to retake that exam. So I think
she needs to, because if she's going to get sued. And also, it seems like Kylie Cosmetics, if you've noticed, it's the website isn't there anymore. Like, you can't buy anything. And there's this whole thing about, I watched a YouTube video on it, and it was so convoluted. And it was like, she sold her cosmetics company, but, you know, she had a breach of contract. So that's why the makeup isn't there anymore. And so, I think the whole family needs Kim's lawyer
legal
skills.
Legal training.
Training.
They need as much as they can get. Jesus. Right. Okay. Lastly, we are ending with a piece of good news, though. I know this all makes us happy. Kelly Clarkson is taking over the Ellen DeGeneres slot in the fall of 2022. We cannot wait. Can't come any sooner. This is absolutely amazing, for considering the amount of time that the Kelly Clarkson show has been on air. The fact that she's being slotted into Ellen DeGeneres, which is, and you know,
amazing.
The promo, like, she will be the daytime entertainment for this network. It's absolutely incredible. We're like so happy for her. That's obviously amazing. And we think she'll do a great job, right? She's fabulous.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, and I would say 4 or 5 years ago, Carrie Underwood was still like the most successful American Idol winner. Like, she had all the hit. Even, I mean, I guess maybe upwards of 5 years ago. But like, I would say Carrie Underwood was solidly number one for a long time. And Kelly Clarkson was like, she'd had some hits. Like, she's fun. Whatever. Like, she is done. Underwood's the
people
star.
People are going to say, what about Jennifer Hudson? She didn't win, people.
She didn't win. I know.
She didn't win.
That was America's mistake, and we've paid for it. But I mean, it's just incredible the speed at which Kelly Clarkson has gone from like one of the best American Idol winners, like one of the most successful, to like the new Ellen. Like, what?
Yeah.
And this is not new. She has been around for a very long time. It's actually incredibly
like 20
difficult.
Years.
Yeah. To re-churn and like reinvent yourself. And now she's a fucking daytime talk show host. It's amazing.
Here's what I have to say also, though, is I want her to replace Ellen 100%, yes. But I think that like the most satisfying Circle of Life event would be for Kelly Clarkson to replace everything that Ryan Seacrest is currently doing.
Oh my God.
Single white female, like, move her way into every single opportunity that Ryan Seacrest currently has. Just like, take it all over. We're done with him as a society.
Love
and like,
that.
You know, the animal kingdom has moved on in the way that it needs to.
That's a fantastic idea. She absolutely could.
Yeah.
Eventually.
What's he doing? First of all, he's not doing anything that Ellen didn't do. So, like, I mean, just more small fry stuff. Kelly Clarkson could do America Top 40 or whatever.
Ooh.
She already has a talk show. So, like, she could definitely interview celebrities,
yeah,
and talk about her outfits on the red carpet more than anyone ever asked for. So,
yeah. What about Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve party?
Oh, come on. In the bag. She could sing half the songs.
Agreed.
She could sing that. Auld Lang Syne. Come on.
Agreed. Okay. Let's do it. We're going to move on to cringe mode. We are covering this week the Friends reunion. At first, it made me sad that this was in cringe mode. Then I watched it. Then I was like, okay, yeah, this is just right. Obviously, I think everyone who's listening knows that this was coming. This was like highly anticipated for a set group of people. I don't think it was for my co-hosts on this podcast.
No.
But essentially, if in any way you might have missed it, it is like this part documentary, part interview panel, part look back and clips from the old show, part tribute sent in from celebs and people all over the world. And then this panel discussion interviewed by James Corden, which we'll get into. Anyway, it's a Mod Podge that came out this week, and we have some thoughts. Do you guys
we
have
do.
Anything to add to like the overall genesis?
I would say
is?
To set the stage, Liz loves Friends. I like Friends. I've seen all of it. Liz has seen all of it. Amelia has seen like one episode and is anti-Friends. So we have the spectrum of people who could be engaging with this reunion. So yeah, here are our thoughts. I guess I'll start with a highlight. They included a ton of like old bloopers and like missed takes. And I just thought it was really fun to see new Friends TV show content in 2021 after the same bloopers and the same, you know, the same videos we've seen of Ross trying to play the bagpipes and them mm-hmm. laughing and being like, oh, that was real. That was their real reaction. And like, we've been doing that for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so it was like very weirdly refreshing to see like, oh, like a new version of that or new like bloopers and things like that. You know, there was a scene where Joey hurt his arm that like we'd never seen before. And there were, you know,
that
videos of like their last shoot where Paul Rudd's like shooting them with a video camera from the front row, which also like, what was Paul Rudd doing? Why wasn't he involved in this? Anyway, not important. But yeah, I just really like it was so fun to see like fresh old content, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I mean, I think this was going to be one of my age worst best, but this probably fits better here. I think that whoever and whatever archive system they're using over at WB is impressive, because it's like, how did like there were I don't know how many episodes of Friends, but there were a bunch, and you would think that like, wouldn't you like tape over some of them? But I guess not. They knew they
like,
were
just
making
get rid of the dailies at some point. Yeah,
but they had it all. It was like amazing. So good job to whoever saved all that stuff.
Yeah, I liked that part.
I think I would have watched like the full 90 plus minutes of just that. Like the Friends now, that cast rewatched old scenes and they still find it just as funny and just as enjoyable, which is like, I think a through line of like the positive we can take from this, which is like they really just enjoyed the experience of them being on the show. I also just found their natural interaction with one another really interesting and much more engaging to watch than freaking James Corden like softballing them dumb questions and like one of them gets to speak. Ugh. I just found their actual natural dialogue with one another so much more interesting. And I would have rather that than, spoiler alert, there's a fucking fashion show at the end, which Amelia's going to talk about. I just think it was kind of could have stuck to more of that, you know?
Yeah, right. 100%. That's why we're here. We want to watch the Friends being friends.
Right. Yes.
I have to say, though, I did enjoy, and I know that this was not popular with everyone, I liked they had all these celebrities that they had interviewed about the importance of Friends to them. Basically, just random celebrities who are fans of the TV show Friends. And I just liked seeing sort of these random people pop up and like really nerd out over like specific episodes or specific moments. Like Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. I was like, why are you here? Who asked you, or like, did you ask to do this? But then he spent like 3 minutes talking about the pivot episode where they're trying to move the couch up the stairs. And he's just like there in his little accent with his little like fist being like talking about how funny the couch is. And I was like, Kit Harington, like this is a side of you that I have not seen. And I'm charmed. Yeah. Honestly, I'm charmed by how much you love this show. And I mean, there were a ton of, some of the celebrities made sense, some of them didn't. We'll get to that later in the lightning round as well. But yeah, I was a little bit, and like David Beckham like was talking about his favorite episode. And I was like, you guys, like celebrities are just like us. They also have like favorite TV show episodes that they've seen 50 times.
Sure.
What's another highlight, Amelia?
This is like such a low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry, but it really did actually make me laugh when the producers of the show, in the beginning, they talked about how each member of the main member of the cast was cast in their roles. And every single time, I swear to God, for every single character, they were like, it was the hardest part to cast. So I was like, you're saying that for what is the truth? What is going on? And so right. That made me laugh. That just because they, you know, and I appreciate that they obviously love every single member of the cast. It looks like equally, which is great. So
yeah, they gave themselves a lot of credit in that segment. You're right. You're like, did God's work finding Chandler Bing. I did like the butterfly effect of all those things. So they kind of went to what the cast was doing right before. I think Matthew Perry had the most interesting kind of butterfly effect of his life. He was actually doing a pilot called LAX 2194. And it was about baggage handlers at LAX in the year 2194, who's like sorts through alien luggage. And like to think as an actor, he could have continued doing that role instead of being Chandler Bing on Friends is so mind blowing to me. Jennifer Aniston is also a part of the show, had done like 6 episodes of Muddling Fruit. And it like shows a clip of the show and you're like, oh my God, Jennifer Aniston kept on this project instead of going to Friends. Like where would everybody's lives be? And Joey had like $11 in his back pocket. Like it just kind of was very interesting to see what could have been for these people that are now worth so much and like so in our like cultural zeitgeist.
Makes you second think your career decisions first.
Let me tell you.
You're like, oh boy.
Oh my God.
How did
is
I get here?
Is this our Friends or is this our LAX 2194?
Oh my God.
TBD.
I'll be thinking about that late night tonight.
For years to come. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh. I also really love how everyone still called Matthew Perry Maddie. That's like, you know, that they're real life friends. Yeah. I just love that. And so clearly they have such good chemistry. It's just like it's great to see that they truly, because you know, not everyone, just with it is with like every job, you're not gonna like every single person you work with. And I think there are a lot of, you know, with a show that big, they're like there's bound to be huge egos. And you would think that one of them would be like, I'm the best and you guys suck or something like that. And it doesn't seem like that. It genuinely feels like they really care about each other. And I was like, this is beautiful. So
yeah, by the end of the show, they were negotiating as a group of a cast and not one of them was paid differently than the other, which just shows like they were all in it for one another. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do some low lights. Kate, start us off.
All right. We've been remarkably positive so far, which I know is just the point of the whole first segment. So apologies for what's to come. I have to say, the whole special starts off with all of them sort of showing up for this table read and they're walking through the sets and talking about, you know, just talking to themselves, talking to each other. And they started with David Schwimmer and the ego of whoever was like, yes, let's hype up this reunion and then let's talk about the legacy of the show. And for the first friend that is going to arrive and carry this by themselves for a good 2 minutes before someone else shows up, like it's going to be the most hated friend. And like, that's a good idea. Let's do that. So David Schwimmer shows up. He's like walking around, touching things in the set, being like, wow, memories. And I just was like, even if he did show up first, which he probably did, it's called editing. Like, you got to give me Lisa Kudrow. You got to give me Courtney. Like, I don't care who... I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just timing, but it just seemed like a really tough
call. I don't know,
man.
I think they probably scheduled it out and they probably thought of it beforehand. It's like, you're not going to start with Jennifer Aniston.
Anyone else. Everyone hates it. Everyone hates Ross. Come on.
Right. Everyone, like, give Courtney Cox an earlier call time. Right. Like, there are, even if they are all the same, it just, it doesn't make sense.
And I was like analyzing the order that they came in. It was like David Schwimmer, Lisa Kudrow, Jennifer Aniston, and then it was like Joey Chandler, Courtney Cox. I'm combining their character names, their actor names.
Hey, I get it.
Anyway, but I was like, it didn't seem super planned out, and I was like, there could have been a better way to do this. Also, during a part of the special, they recreated the game from my favorite Friends episode, many people's favorite Friends episode, because it's a really funny episode. The one with the embryos, which is when they're playing a game to see how well they know each other. They bet the apartment on it. There are just all these questions about how well they know each other. And I mean, it made sense for the special for them to do that and like ask each other questions about the show. Mm-hmm. But it was like they were half acting, half not. And it was like this kind of like cringy recreation. And it's just such an iconic episode that it made me like a little bit sad to watch the modern day recreation of it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a little tough.
Sure. Yeah. Amelia, next one.
You know what? It's totally fine. I think this is just my personal bad taste, but I thought that the shock of the big names like just wore off really quickly for me. And I don't know. I just would have, maybe I'm crazy, but I would have just liked to see the cast themselves talk about. I mean, like you could have Reese Witherspoon come in and stuff. Yeah. But it was just like, okay. Like, and I'm sorry, but the fashion show was so,
Can we talk about this? Amelia, please let it out.
I'm sorry, this is mean and I apologize in advance, but it definitely felt like some producer was like, who's someone who's not doing anything right now, but has a big enough name that we can tout on social media? Oh, Cara, Cindy, perfect, great. Oh, and throw in Justin Bieber if he's available. And it was just like, I don't care. And also, if I were Hailey Bieber, I'd be pissed off that I couldn't even book the Friends reunion with my husband.
Right? So true. She is a model. True.
Yeah. Oh, so they had these people come out in like iconic Friends costumes. So like Cindy Crawford was wearing like the leather pants that Ross couldn't get off his body. Justin Bieber was wearing like the potato armadillo Halloween costume. And I did appreciate that like that was it. Like they didn't talk to Justin Bieber. Yeah, they didn't have an interview with Justin Bieber. Literally, it was just like Justin Bieber came to this thing, put on a potato costume, walked out, was like, hi, hello, I'm Justin Bieber, and then just left. Which I kind of appreciated that he blocked off 6 hours of his schedule just for that.
It was so weird and so shoehorned in. Cara Delevingne walked twice. Like it was just just like none of those even people had any through line to themselves. Obviously, two of them are models, but it would just took me
very
out of,
random.
And then the friends are sitting there being like, "Ah, it's Justin Bieber." Okay,
like, yay!
It's so weird.
It felt a little dissonant because it's like, you know, this show was so popular, and the reason why there's a reunion and people are excited about it is because it can stand on its own. And then you're just gonna bring in random celebrities just for an appearance. It's like, that doesn't make sense to me, but okay.
So true. You know who they should have gotten? They should have gotten all the kids that were in the show, like, which is the Sprouse twins, which would have been like still celebs.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Where's
and then
invite?
Emma, I don't know where she turned out, but yeah, I would rather have some connection than it felt so weird.
Wasn't Emma... The girls who played her, weren't they the twins in the in Get Out? Not Get Out, but the other, what's the other one?
Us.
The Shining?
Us. I'm pretty sure those are the
same. Once you're actor twins, you're probably the twins and everything. So it seems like a good bet.
That's true.
Another bone I have to pick with this damn special is that they chose of all the people to interview the cast and be like a real pillar of this program, James Corden. Literally why I want a legitimate answer. And I tried to find one and I couldn't really. Someone claimed that like the friends and like that cast picked him, which I don't buy in any way. There are so many better people to have done this. And I have specific reasons why I think someone could have done better. But as a whole, it felt like he had no connection to the show. He didn't really care to get in to anything. And there's also a lot of other people that are tied to either the people personally or the show that could have done it. Like, I mean, honestly, Paul Rudd or Reese Witherspoon, who are on Friends, could have done it. And they all have personal relationships. But if you want to go the like talk show hosty kind of person, I don't know, Andy maybe, or Chelsea Handler even, who's friends with Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. Like, there are just, or I don't know, Oprah? Like, getting some serious, you know, quotes
out
of these
people. If we're going to do it, let's do it.
Right. She's hot off the heels of that Meghan Harry interview.
Yeah. Throw her a softball, you know? Yeah. I do think part of it was that Ben Winston produced it, and he's the producer of The Late Late Show. Oh. He's like the guy who did the Grammys and stuff. I said last week or a few weeks ago that I was optimistic about how he would do because the Grammys were so good, and I want to take that back. but he's like a team with James Corden, so I assume that like that was part of it. But yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's like overly enthusiastic about everything, so I understand why he was the obvious choice, but... Also, yeah, he didn't seem to have any real personal connection to any of it.
No. And he also skipped over what could have been like a very thoughtful conversation about parts of that show, because the elephant in the room is that no one addressed like some of the major problems that Friends has, which is like there is close to zero diversity on the entire run of the show. There's abundant like fat shaming and misogyny and like homophobic jokes, all that stuff sprinkled throughout the entire fucking franchise that like the creators don't get into, the cast doesn't get into. On top of which, like, Lisa Kudrow has been very public about her body image issues while working on the show. And then, of course, there's Matthew Perry, who's had a long struggle with addiction and substance abuse problems. Anyway, he didn't have to get into that by any means, but every possible nugget of information where they could have given, like, real thought to their experience, he just, like, skipped right over.
Right.
And this is explained honestly better and more eloquently in this Vox article I read. And the title is The Empty Comfort of Friends, The Reunion. It's by Alyssa Wilkinson. And she gets more into this, just like it, how empty it all really felt. But yeah, I just felt like there's opportunity to talk about things that mattered. And he just was like, ha ha, Monica peeing jellyfish scene, ha ha. And I'm like, well, that doesn't, you know, I don't know. I was kind of disappointed.
We didn't need that. Yeah. 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 I agree. Yeah.
That's funny. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I totally agree. And then also on that same point, I think I found it interesting that they had this like random segment of people from around the world talking about how the show impacted them, which is great. I think that's awesome. And I too have experienced that watching shows. Like, you know, I mean, when I watched The Office for the first time, I was like, I just don't understand why they are so mean to Toby. And then I worked in like a job for the first time and dealt with HR and was like, okay, yep, I understand why. But it because it was like the only real diverse segment of the show, and it just kind of signal boosted how, you know, white and heteronormative the show is, which honestly, you know, I mean, it was a different time, which I totally can understand and respect, but it just felt kind of tone deaf to have this segment of like, here's, you know, we're, you know, international people and people of color love the show too, okay? And it was just, it felt just kind of last minute, so
a little heavy handed.
Especially paired with the fact that no one talked about those issues that the show had, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Next category of this is who and what has aged the best and the worst? Kate?
The best to me was just kind of the clips of the actual show and just kind of the humor. Again, we just talked about the things that didn't age well in reference to the actual show. But, you know, I mean, they're showing this sort of awkward interview and all of these celebrity cameos and all of this sort of cringy stuff. And then it would cut to a clip of the show and I'd be like, damn, that episode was good. And I'd be like, shit, that was a funny scene. Yeah. And then they'd go back to the real world and I'd be like, okay, I'm bored again. And just every time they would like cut in a little clip from Friends, I would be like, oh man, Friends was funny.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would say on that element of watching this and being like, oh shit, Friends is a good show, that did age relatively well.
What's also aged really well is their enjoyment of the show. Like I said it before, but these people just love the fact, their whole experience, the fact that they were in it, they love it now. They clearly had a very lovely time rewatching this stuff, talking about it. They also, not to keep shitting on James Corden, but they offered up a lot. Like the only good nuggets of the interview came from themselves saying it and not James Corden asking it or like probing for it. Like one thing that's made huge headlines is that Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer actually had like major crushes on each other back in the day. It never amounted to anything, but they just channeled that in like the amazing chemistry Ross and Rachel had. Anyway, James Corden sat there like floored by that, was like, oh my God, but like didn't ask any, it's just terrible interview. Anyway, they clearly enjoy thinking about it, talking about it. And I think that has aged really well. Like, they all still love their participation in
it. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Amelia, what's aged the worst?
I'm rereading this and I'm like, changed my mind because I don't mean to be so like negative, but I said my thoughts on aging. I was fine with aging until I watched this reunion, but that was a mean joke and I apologize. But I will say this, it's just weird because it's like, this is how many years since the finale of the show? Like what, 15? You didn't do this like
2004.
Yeah, you didn't do this like 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Or like, it's just like, why did you wait all this time? And now it just feels like so dated already, you know? And like, it'd be the same way if they did like Seinfeld. And I love Seinfeld, but if they did it, like, it doesn't, okay, like this just is weird. I don't know. It just felt just dated to me. And it's just like, you know, it's no one's fault, really, other than, I guess, the people who produce the show to not get the timing right. But it was just like, it just made me think like, well, this should have been done a lot earlier. So That was unfortunate, yeah. I think.
And I mean, there has been a ton of discussion about their age and their appearances, which they look overall, they look phenomenal. I thought pretty good.
Yeah, they look great. Yeah.
What I think makes it difficult is that you're taking these characters that are so well known and their images from the show are so well known and the sets are so well known. And then you're taking their current former, like their current actor bodies and people, and you're placing them back in these like molds that they don't fit into anymore. And like, even if they had a different haircut or like they are in different clothes, it just like, I think even if they looked exactly the same, it's like you have the actors in the character's spot. And I think it's going to be weird for people to get used to either way. Yeah. So putting them back like in the set, putting them on the couch where they were in that episode, literally recreating the scene, but like with them as the actors and as themselves, I think it was just kind of asking for people to sort of like nitpick
to make fun of it. I will say, thank God they did not try to do a scripted reunion of like everyone goes back to being Ross, Rachel, Monica, Chandler, whatever. I think that would have been even more draining, because you're right, they did table reads of their former or the old scenes, and we were like, oh, okay. And I cannot imagine if they got all done up, they were doing everything. I think that would have felt even weirder.
Right. Especially if they tried to like alter the canon of the show, you know, like Parks and Rec or something, where it was like, oh, it's 20 years later, like here's where they are. Really glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. The cast barely had an answer for when James Corden asked, like, what do you think everyone's doing now? They were like, I'm a PTA mom. Like, I don't know. We're married. Like, it's just maybe not something on their minds, which is better that they're not like, you know, thinking about that. But yeah, pretty bizarre.
I think, and also, I think, and maybe this is me again, but the whole celebrity, like random fashion show, it's just like, I just want to hear them talk about, we don't need celebrities to come in. It just like that part felt really weird and dated too. But
I agree. All right, Amelia, who are you giving the MVP award to?
Okay, again, I'm changing my mind. I was going to say me for making the personal decision to never watch more than one episode of this show, which that's really mean.
Stick
and I apologize.
Yeah.
But honestly, the thing is, if you love the show, I think I'm truly happy for you, because there is just, you know, so little joy in this world. And if you can find something that you're happy about, I think that's great. It's not the show for me, but honestly, I don't even mean to be dismissive about it. And that's the beauty of where we are right now. You can have your own opinion. You don't have to like the show, but you can like it if you want to.
There's a show for everyone.
There is a show for everyone. Like, and honestly, like I've fucking love Seinfeld, and I know a lot of people don't like Seinfeld, and that's okay, and I'm okay with that. And but I do it's very funny, because I had this theory going in my mind for like years now, but either you love Friends or you love Seinfeld, and usually there aren't people who are both, but prove me wrong, that's fine. You don't need to DM us, but like, you know, I'm just kidding.
Hearing from the angry mob, I like both.
Right, exactly. But it's funny, because I think a lot of people usually do like The Office, but maybe you don't. But and again, it's just it's your opinion, and that is great.
It's
if
like
you
cat
love
people,
it.
Cat people and dog people.
Yeah,
exactly. Friends people and Seinfeld people.
Exactly. And it's like, that is so great. If you love it, that's awesome. And if you don't love it, fine. Who cares? Honestly, I don't care. I think that's so great. If you love it, though, you know? So I have no problem with you loving it. But
thank you, Amelia. Thank you for your permission to love Friends.
Amelia, I can promise you that if Seinfeld ever decides to get together and do like a multi-billion dollar reunion special, we shall be covering it.
We shall.
Oh, God. Seinfeld, don't do it. Don't do it.
I know. Okay, who's your MVP?
I'm going to go with Jennifer Aniston. We have not talked much about her specifically, but I just got the vibe that I think people were kind of the cast was kind of following her lead in terms of commitment. And she committed. She showed up. She was emotional. She was involved. Yeah. She was funny. She was making jokes. She was, you know, hugging people, calling them by their nicknames, being like, we're close. We're friends. Like, we're all on the same level. We are just like six people who had this incredible life-changing experience together. And I just think if she had been like kind of distant, or if any of them hadn't totally committed, I think the vibe would have been off. But I just think they really showed up like ready to get emotional about it, and like really ready to more committed than James Corden again. I think they were ready to really kind of like dig up these memories and really kind of bring this all back. And it was better for it, I think.
Yeah, agreed. I'm giving it to Lisa Kudrow for kind of the same reason. Her energy is just so fucking contagious. And
I love
great.
Her so
I
much.
I love She's watching great. Her. She also had to play Smelly Cat with Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga dressed up as Phoebe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good sport. And I'm just giving it to her. I do love her.
Yes.
Okay, let's do the lightning round. Kate, who was the best celebrity cameo?
I'm going to go with Tom Selleck because he had the combination of star power and relevancy to the show. He played Richard, which was Monica's boyfriend on the show. And it's also a tough character because obviously she didn't end up with him. Like, and the Chandler-Monica dynamic is so popular. But Richard was such a popular character regardless of that, that people still love him. People still love Tom Selleck. So when he came in and like the cast was like, oh my God, it's Tom Selleck. And like clearly the audience was supposed to feel the same way. And I did. I was like, oh my God, it's Tom Selleck. Like it's Richard. We love him here. So yeah, I love that. And then I do have to say BTS was kind of shoehorned into the international section because RM, who's the leader of BTS, taught himself to speak English by watching Friends.
Oh, wow.
Like a very long like BTS nugget. Probably, I think he first said like years and years ago. But they did feel a little shoehorned in. I was like, okay, like James Corden just kind of like hit that speed dial and was like, hey guys. So yeah. And then the models, I'm sorry, I was entertained. I was like, why is fucking Justin Bieber here for 30 seconds?
Oh my God. That's bad taste right there.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm giving it to Kit Harington because Kate explained it best, but I was floored by this man appearing in this special. Hadn't seen him since the finale of Game of Thrones. Love to see him. And I was just happy to have Kit Harington on my screen.
Yeah. So random.
Yeah. Amelia, who's your best celebrity cameo?
Okay. Also, Stream Butter. That's a good song. Kate.
It's fun. It's a good one.
It's great. Sorry. Okay. I would say, my worst celeb, because I just really was not about these celeb cameos, obviously.
Yes, but, that's fine. Yeah.
Malala, you're just going to give her 15 seconds for this? I just like, that's an insult to her. So
it was. You know? I agree.
I was floored that she was in this.
She has better things to do.
She does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which friend came off the best in this special? Amelia.
I think, I love the women are iconic. They're icons. We stan. They're amazing. They're just so much better than the men, no offense, but I did really enjoy Matt LeBlanc. He seems like a legitimately nice, fun person. I was like, yeah, give him more roles.
I agree.
Kate? He had the right vibe of like happy to be here, you know, that his career isn't doing well. Like I'm sure he's fine, but like, I'm going to get into it in a minute, but I think one of the other guys was like a little bit like, I have to make this moment count.
Okay.
And Matt LeBlanc, I feel like was just like happy to have something to do, you know?
Yeah. So, happy to have something on his schedule.
Yeah. It was good vibes. I think the friend that came off the best was Lisa Kudrow. First of all, I just think she's had like kind of the late game career bump that the other ones haven't. Like even Jen Aniston in recent years, like, you know, she had that string of bad movies. Like she's obviously a superstar, but like I think you could argue that now she's doing the Friends reunion and the reason they didn't do it earlier is because she didn't need to. Whereas Lisa Kudrow, like, booked and busy. She's been in great comedies in recent years.
Yes. Yeah.
She's funny. She's smart. Like, she just, I think, in like the last 5 years has really had kind of like a little mini career renaissance.
I totally agree.
And that was like the energy that I got from her during this reunion was like, I'm still doing great. Like, how are you? You know?
Yes. So true.
So seriously. I just really enjoyed that from her.
She's, so true.
She's kind of like, not to make a Seinfeld reference, but like the Julia Louis-Dreyfus of Friends to me, at least, you know, because she had that TV show, The Comeback or whatever, which was very funny.
Yeah.
And she keeps on popping up in really good movies. And I'm just like, yes, go off, queen. You weren't the main focus on Friends, but thankfully people realized how good you were on that show.
Yeah. So hindsight 2020.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to make a public plea for that same treatment to my girl, Courtney Cox. I think I'm one of the only living humans who loved Cougar Town. back in 2009.
I heard that show was good.
It's really funny. And Courtney Cox was the lead and she was like, you know, the helm of the whole show. I think she really, she was pretty quiet in the interviews, but I think she really shined when they were redoing the table reads. And I just find her really funny. She was Monica and probably like some part of her is still that character. But I like her and I don't want her to like be cast in like the Scream reboot. I need her to be the lead of a comedy, people.
Right.
So, just
get on it, Hollywood.
Okay. Lastly, which friend came off the worst, Amelia?
Okay. So I don't think anyone came off as necessarily bad, but I do think, just to briefly talk about Matthew Perry, he makes me sad because I think he is a genuinely funny. I follow him on Twitter because I think he's so funny. And, you know, there were reports that he might have gotten dental work, emergency dental work before this reunion. So that's why he kind of was slurring his speech and everything. But he's also had like alcohol and drug problems in the past while he was like on the show and everything. And, you know, my best wishes to him because he is genuinely very talented and seems like a nice person. But, you know, it was just, it made me a little sad to see that. Yeah. And thankfully, not everyone is totally jumping on the he's slurring his speech angle because it wasn't so obvious, but it definitely, you could kind of tell there was a little, there was something going on. And it probably was just, you know, a tooth thing. But
luckily, the majority of what I've seen is like the through line is just like, I hope you're okay. And I haven't seen a lot of people being super critical, which is great because we should be respectful.
Totally.
So yeah, I 100% agree with you. Kate, do you have an answer?
Gotta talk about Schwimmer again. I started the segment with him and I gotta end it. He, like we said, Matt LeBlanc showed up, was like, love you guys. Happy to be here. Had a great time on this project with you. Where are the drinks? And David Schwimmer, I just got a vibe from him that was so desperate. That was like, I haven't had work in however long. I need a hit. I need a meme. I need anything. And I just got like sort of this like manic, desperate energy from David Schwimmer where it was like he really felt like he had to make the most of this, which is just kind of David Schwimmer's energy and Ross's energy. So like maybe that was what I was picking up on. But yeah, I'm going to go with Schwimmer. Keep trying, bud.
I honestly noted a couple times he like cut Jennifer Aniston off and I was like, okay, take a chill pill, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
He did get what he wanted. I mean, the Ross Rachel crush thing back in the day is really making headlines.
That was big.
Take this all the way to the bank, David Schwimmer.
Good for you.
Okay. Lastly, quickly, we're doing Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Okay. I'll just start off because this is an odd two questions. So, my question is, can we please, 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 God, stop with the murder movies? I feel like we've made this plea in the past where we've talked about like the Zac Efron Netflix movie and all that stuff. I just need Hollywood to cool it because of all people, Chad Michael Murray is now going to play Ted Bundy.
Why?
In a biopic in this new movie called American Boogeyman. And it's like, we don't need another Ted Bundy movie. At all. We don't need another murder movie where they just like glorify these people and like romanticize their lives and don't really talk about the women or other people that were murdered. And it's just like, just literally why we all, I mean, I personally had like a my favorite murder moment back in the day. I have since moved on. We all go through it. I think we all hopefully are ready to move on. I just need us to stop. I don't like murder.
It's also just like, it's like every former teen heartthrob feels like, in order to have their like Joaquin Phoenix Joker moment, like their Daniel, they're like convinced that playing a serial killer will turn them into like Daniel Day-Lewis. Like this is going to be their like their big thing. And it's like, no, it's not. It's just a serial killer who killed people because he was a psychopath. Like it's fine. It's not that deep. I mean, it's not fine, but you don't need to explore it in a feature film.
Certainly Chad Michael Murray doesn't need to explore it.
Come on.
This is not 2006. And it's just like, I'm done with the hot Ted Bundy. Like, get it, okay?
No. Yes.
It's just, and as someone who, I'm weird and so I, like, enjoy murder. But, like, let me enjoy that in my bedroom by myself. Like, you know, ashamed of the fact that I like doing it, okay?
It's a different format. It's, like, more educational. You're learning about true crime.
I like it too, Amelia. I've subscribed to that podcast for a long time.
It's different. It's different.
Yeah.
I get it.
So please stop. This is just more a please than a question.
But, totally.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, lastly, we save the best for last. Amelia.
Okay, so I was going to make this. I was like, I will somehow make this into the question, but I couldn't really think of
ready?
One.
I'll feed it to you. Unanswerable questions, because I don't have one this week. Amelia, what happened on The Masked Singer?
Oh, good one. Well, so glad you asked. It was the finale, and let me tell you, it was the first time in Masked Singer history that a straight white male won the entire season. Nick Lachey as the Piglet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. as the Piglet, an embarrassing costume for sure. He won. And, you know, there's really not much more to say about that. Thank
you. Who should have won? Who was like, JoJo? Who are you rooting for?
JoJo was great. She was the Black Swan. Yes.
Oh my God. I love her. How did she not win?
I honestly, it was rigged. This show is truly rigged because Jessie McCarthy, or no, I'm see, I always confuse Jessie McCarthy, McCartney with Jenny McCartney. No, oh. McCarthy. God damn it. I always confuse the McCarthy and the McCartney. But he should have won, but whatever, it's fine. Yes, but Nick Lachey beat out JoJo and then the other person, Wiz Khalifa, which I thought he's kind of a big name.
Also like an actual star.
Yeah.
Or at least a former star. Weird. Wow. How did Nick, I'm actually so mad about this. JoJo was staging a comeback.
She
is all over social media. She's like posting these like riffs of her singing on TikTok. And people are like, oh my God, JoJo, like it's time. Come back to us. And they gave it to Nick Lachey.
Whereas Nick Lachey probably can't even open TikTok. Like he is so ancient. And like, we don't care, Nick Lachey. Stay out of it, Nick Lachey. And he is like, here's the thing. He's a good singer. I will give him that. But JoJo, she's on another echelon. Like she's incredible. She has the better story because she had stage fright and she talked about how she had stage fright and she was coming back. And you're not going to give it to her where this man is on the fucking Netflix shows. Him and his wife, Vanessa, are making all the rounds. They're denying getting a present from Jessica Simpson. It's just, we don't need the Lachey's here. Okay. This is an anti-Lachey podcast.
Wow. That makes me really mad.
Yeah, you should be mad.
Wait, Amelia, this might be another unanswerable question. I don't know if it's been decided yet, but when does the next season come out? I feel like it comes out every 5 days. They got
next week?
New crop of people.
Honestly, probably soon. Probably very soon. Okay, I think you're correct.
Great. Okay, Can't wait for the next update. Damn, I got to check in on JoJo. I hope she's okay.
I mean, it was just egregious. The fact that she didn't win... Are you kidding? She just sounds so much better.
Absolutely shameful.
Seriously. And what I felt was funny, too, is because, you know, the first time they awarded to Straight White Male, and then you would think, like, you know, and The Voice had their finale the same time. And you would think, like, oh, okay, another straight. No, they finally awarded a black guy. Thank
Amazing.
God.
Amazing.
Who was the best singer there?
Wow.
Cam,
well, I guess
love
that's
Cam.
Balance. The Voice gets it right. Masked Singer gets it wrong.
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
I mean, hello, 2021, I guess, right?
Wow.
Progress, kind of.
Damn.
Wow.
All right. Well, disappointing end to the pod, but hopefully we'll be back soon with more Masked Singer updates.
Or not.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening. That's it for this week. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kay Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wetmore.